So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that all things are possible with God. It's possible for us to be saved from our sin. It's possible for us to have power over sin. It's possible for us to serve our neighbor and to serve you. It's possible only because you've done what you've done for us. All things are possible with God. We thank you for it and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, choir. Let's say again, thank you to Steve, choir, Lori, for all this they're sharing with us. If you have your Bibles this morning, good morning, good to see you. Romans chapter 8 is where we'll be continuing our thoughts these days as we think about the importance of the battle with indwelling sin that each believer deals with all the days of their life. Romans chapter 8, our focus will be on verses 9 through 13. We'll look there in just a moment. All of our men who are present in this service, you heard the announcement. I want to remind you that along with the deacons, we're very excited about having time together. Men from 5 to 7 this coming Saturday, join us in the gym. It'll be a great time of fellowship, and we'll have a good time together. And so we haven't done this in a while, so all of our men, please make an effort to be here. And it'll be a great chance for you to meet some of the other men you don't see at the different hours we worship. And so I hope that you'll make plans to be here with us. So we've been looking at this dilemma we have as followers of Jesus, and I call your attention back to Romans chapter 7. Verse number 23 is where we came, where we started with this, this whole discussion we're having called the battle. What we're talking about here today has to do with every single believer who's in this room today. There's not a single one of you excluded from what I'm going to be talking about, because this battle rages inside of you as well as it rages inside of me. Paul said it this way, Romans chapter 7, verse number 23. This was his personal testimony. He says, I see a different law, a force, is this idea here. I see a different force or a power in my body, waging war against the power, the law of my mind, which is the new person we are in Jesus, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. And he confesses his brokenness with this condition in verse 24 of Romans 7. Wretched man that I am. The longer you walk with Jesus, the greater you understand your own sinfulness. The longer you walk with Jesus, the greater you understand your own sinfulness that's still there. Though you're saved, born again, a citizen of heaven, a peculiar people, you're one of God's own, you've been born again, but there is this remainder of sin. And it just causes us to grieve. Wretched man that I am, verse 24, chapter 7, who will free me from the body of this death? Then we read last week in Romans chapter 8, verse number 2, the solution. For the law of the Spirit of life, the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Notice, the law, the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you, Christian, has set you, has released you from the law of sin and death. What a glorious gospel truth that we are saved, and now by the power of the Holy Spirit, sin shall not have mastery over you. Now we are under the grace of God, and we experience the glory of living in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we'll talk about today. So I'd like for you to stand now in honor of the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 8. Our focus primarily today will be on verses 9 through 13. And may the Lord give us wisdom and knowledge as we hear His Word. Paul is writing to the Christians at the Roman church. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, He does not belong to him. Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin. Yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word, and now may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Oh, how we need to hear from you today, Holy Spirit of God. We pray that you might remove the distractions from our minds, that we might truly hear, be hearers of the word of God and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So now we find today our focus is this. This is the focal truth around which my comments will come. We're still a week away from understanding the practical manner in how we kill the desires of sin and the deeds of sin. We'll get to that next week. The actual practical matter of how you do it, how we do it with the Holy Spirit's help. But this week we come to find out some very important things, and the principle around which all of this is building is, as we've just read in verse number 13, that if by the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. God's people kill sin's desires and deeds when they live in the Spirit. So living in the Spirit becomes a very important matter for all of us to understand. This is why Paul spends so much time in the book of Romans, and especially Romans chapter 8, helping us as believers, informing us, helping us understand what does it really look like to live in the Spirit. And that's where I'll spend my attention coming at the end to talk about this matter of living in the Spirit and killing the desires and the deeds of the flesh. Paul uses six different conditional statements in verses 9 through 13. I tried to inflect them as I read these words, but I'll go through them again because you need to see this as a conditional matter. Here's the conditional matter. Paul says it, before I get to these conditional statements, at the beginning of verse number 9. Last week, if you were with us, we talked about the sadness of being according to the flesh. You see, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you are according to flesh. That's why you love flesh. That's why you love sin. That's why you're captivated and indulge in sensual, sexual immorality. That's why you love idolatry. That's why you covet. That's why you feed on your own fleshly desires. You're according to flesh. To be according to flesh is to be separate from God. So Paul says, however, after he talks about living in the flesh, and I won't repeat all that I said last week. You can go back out and listen to it if you'd like to and hear those things. We talked about all those characteristics of being according to flesh. What a sad thing. It's why we share the gospel. Because our friends and our neighbors and our family who do not know Jesus are according to flesh. But Paul says now to these Christians, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He calls Christians spiritual people. You're a follower of Jesus here today and you're born again. You are a spiritual person. You're no longer a fleshly person. You're a spiritual person. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Jesus. This is our challenge. So these statements are conditional because they only apply to those who are spiritual, those in whom the Holy Spirit of God dwells. You are a spiritual person now if you are a follower of Jesus and born again. So he says, first if, verse 9, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the question is, does the Spirit of God dwell in you today? You must answer that. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. There's the other side of the conditional statement. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, what will happen? The Spirit will come alive because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the same power of the Holy Spirit that raised miraculously the dead body of Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your body. Now your body can be used for the purposes of God. He brings you to life in your spirit, and now your body follows in service to God. You serve God with your mouth, not sin. You serve God with your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet. You're alive now. Your body is alive for the purposes and service of God. And then we read in verse number 13, if you are living according to flesh, if you are according to flesh, you will die. Everything you love, everything you desire, everything you crave, you will go to your grave and you will face eternal death. This is the word of God. This is the warning of God's word. But these contrasts are so wonderful. Between flesh and spiritual. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So with that in mind, we make four observations in our time together in verses 9 through 13, and may the Lord give us wisdom to understand these truths about living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit isn't some special condition just for some special super saint. No, this is your condition. You must now believe in yourself as a new person in Christ, a new creature in Christ. You are now a spiritual person. You are alive to spiritual things. Paul spends a lot of times in the center of Romans chapter 8 talking about our minds. So we'll pause just a moment here, and at some point I'll need to elaborate on this a little further. But today I will introduce you to this phrase that when you live in the Spirit as a spiritual person, as a Christian, you are spiritually minded. So we'll talk for a moment about spiritual mindedness. Last week we spent a lot of time looking at fleshly mindedness. I don't have the time to repeat all of those things. They're found in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 5 and going through verse number 8. Those qualities of fleshly mindedness, those who are according to flesh think like fleshly people. They think about the flesh. They think about indulging in the flesh. They focus on things around the flesh. That's what they care about. This is about your mindset. Where is your mind set this morning? This is the question for all of you and for myself. For those who are according to flesh, they set their mind on the flesh. But those who are according to Spirit, when we're born again and the Spirit comes alive and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, now our minds are set on the spiritual. I'm going to ask you now to keep your place in Romans chapter 8 and turn quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I must do this because it helps us understand this very important principle of understanding and having spiritual mindedness. What do spiritually minded people do? What do the spiritual think about? They think about the Word of God, and they think about the truths of God, and they think about the Lord Jesus and the glory of God. I'm asking you this morning, and you can do your own evaluation of yourself. If you say you're saved, if you say you're born again, Spiritual mindedness is not something you work toward, it's what you have. You now think about spiritual things. You didn't before, that was what it meant to be lost. You were preoccupied with this world and all of your own stuff and all of your own indulgences, but now, glory to God, you got saved, you woke up, and all of a sudden, now you think about God. You think about the Lord Jesus, and you love the Word of God. Now, how do I know that? Well, you read here 1 Corinthians 2. Paul's explaining the difference between the natural, he calls it in this place, which are the fleshly, those according to flesh, the lost, and the saved. Now, if we have received, we have not received the spirit of the world. You had that when you got born into this world. You learned the spirit of the world. You know, kick somebody before they kick you. Steal when they're not looking. You deserve what you've got. Love yourself. Just love on yourself. Just give yourself some love. It's the spirit of the world. You deserve it. You've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. So that we may, or are you listening? So that we may know the things. The things. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. That's what happens when you come to know Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God comes in and starts revealing things about God and His ways you never would have known. Now we go on. Which things, verse 13, this is 1 Corinthians 2:13, these things that the Holy Spirit reveals, we speak. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. I'm standing here speaking about the things of God. I didn't come up here to give you current events. You can listen to that on the news. Go turn on Tom Brokaw. You can get all that you want, or whoever the news person is nowadays. I'm not here to entertain you and give you a show. I'm speaking here today about spiritual things. That's our job when we come to church. To hear these spiritual things. We speak about these things freely given to us, not in words of human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. What happens, all of the spiritual come together, and the Holy Spirit of God who is in us all, as the Word of God is spoken, the Holy Spirit combines. Here is the description of what goes on to renew your mind and restore your thinking and mind. It happens with the Word of God as we speak it and as we read it. The Holy Spirit combines spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. That's why we spend the time taking these words apart. That's why we look carefully at their meaning. That's why we hide them in our heart. That's why we memorize the Word of God. That's why we meditate on the truth of God. It is the Holy Spirit taking these wonderful spiritual words, this book filled with spiritual words. You see, if you don't care about reading your Bible, you're lost, my friend. Only the saved love the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit takes these thoughts and combines thoughts and words, ideas and concepts and words. But, verse 14, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit. A lost man doesn't care about all of this talk we're doing in here today. They're not going to come up here and show up. That's why it's interesting. Why is it that people won't read their Bible or gather with God's people who want to hear God's word, but they call themselves a Christian? I'm not going to chase the rabbit, but it's out there. Well, I'm saved, but I don't read my Bible. How can that be? I'm saved, but I don't need to go to church. I go out here to the park. How can that be? We hear what is spoken and preached and delivered and taught. And these spiritual thoughts and these spiritual words are combined by the Holy Spirit in a miraculous way. And every single one of you who are born again and spiritual, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and gives it to you just the way you need it. And that doesn't come from any speaker or teacher. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The natural man doesn't care about the things of God. They're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. But those who are spiritual They understand these things, and they have, verse 16, the mind of Christ. You see, we learn here from Paul in verse number 5 of Romans 8, those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So I want to go, secondly, to the qualities of spiritual mindedness. And I'm working as best I can to deliver what I have to share with you today in a timely way. Please be patient. I'm not trying to waste your time today, but these are important words, and I want to use my time with you because I believe we all need to hear these things. I'm only giving you a few of the qualities of spiritual mindedness we find in the Word of God. And at some point, as I said earlier, we'll probably need to come back and visit this again. Because you see, friend, Jesus said it. Whatever you think about, whatever's in your heart comes out of you in the way you live. Did you know that? Guard your heart, the book of Proverbs says, for from your heart flow the issues of life. Talking about the inside, our mind, our will, and our emotions. The Word of God helps us renew our minds because we read the truths of God, we hear them, and as we receive them, the Holy Spirit does the work of applying them. He combines them together, and you hear what you need to hear. So what does it mean to think about to have a spiritual mind? Well, let me ask you this. Has Jesus crossed your mind in the last day or so? Pastor Mike, I have a real job. I have work to do. I have to think about a lot of things. I didn't ask about what all your schedule's about. I ask, has Jesus crossed your mind? Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 something very important, and I'll read it to you for the sake of time. He says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. That's not Gatlinburg. That's not the Rocky Mountains. That's not the Sierra Mountains. Keep seeking the things above in that glorious place called heaven, that place to which we are promised, that is a part of our future inheritance. The inheritance you have is reserved for you in heaven. Keep thinking, he says, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated. Christ is reigning in heaven. Glory be to God. He's seated at the right hand of God. So what do you do? Colossians 3:2. Set your mind. You see, this is your responsibility. You must do this with the help of the Holy Spirit, but you have a duty in it. Set your mind on the things above, not on things of the earth. When did you last think about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Instead of being so preoccupied with yourself, no wonder you're in such misery. If you think about yourself long enough, you will be miserable. But when you cast your mind and you deeply think about the glory of the Lord Jesus, fully God, fully man, the one sent from God, full of grace and truth, the one who in his own presence represents the glorious image of the unseen God. When you recognize this is the one who called you and said, follow me. When did you last think about his death? I'm not talking about it's a passing thought. You deeply thought, you meditated on the death of Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was raised according to the Scripture. He ascended to heaven bodily and physically, and he now reigns above all the nations. Though he is not seen in his reign, he is ascended and is seated and reigning and will return again. Come, Lord Jesus, seek those things above. When did you last think about Jesus? We are such earthen people. God made us out of the dust. It's hard to get rid of this earth-mindedness. Love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Think about the character of God and his power and holiness and glory and eternality, his knowledge and his power and his strength. Think about heaven and eternal life. We have much to do in thinking about where we are. I ask today, if you have thought about Jesus lately, well, you see, I'll read it again. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh. That's all they think about. That's all they talk about. But those who are according to the Spirit think and talk and are consumed by the truths of God and the spiritual truths of God. Second observation quickly. We live in the world of the Spirit. We live in the Spirit because we're spiritually alive and at peace. Look at all these verses that we've seen about life. Go back in chapter 6, verse number 4. We saw it earlier. It's what we say every time we baptize some dear one who's followed Jesus, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. When you got saved, when you were born again, you became a new person, new life. And that new life is renewed every day. I've been a Christian. I was 9 years old. I'm 63 years old now. Renewal of life, renewal of spiritual life comes every day. It's the joy and blessing of this life we have. Abundant life in this world, overcoming our sin, overcoming ourself and our wickedness, and eternal life to come. Oh, the blessings of life. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit brings life. That's what gets rid of your worry. That's what gets rid of your dread. That's what gets rid of your anger. That's what gets rid of your lust. Your mind is set on the Spirit and on spiritual truth, on things above, not on this corrupted, devolving world that will burn. But your mind is set upon the spiritual, and there's life, and peace just comes over you. The peace of God. So we live in the Spirit if we're spiritually minded. I said we live in the Spirit if we are spiritually minded. You have to decide. If you say you're a Christian but you have no spiritual mind, you may still be in your sins. You live in the Spirit if you're spiritually alive and at peace. That's the normal Christian life, not the agitated, fearful, worrying life. No, that's the battle. That's the battle of 7:23. The battle with the body and the flesh wants to go back, and there's worry and agitation. But in the Spirit, there is life and peace. It is the picture again of our Lord in the bottom of the boat, sleeping away in the storm. Life and peace. Life and peace. You've gotten some bad news this week. You have some trouble in your life. Life and peace. Life and peace. If we live in the Spirit, we live in life and peace. Life and peace. That's the normal way. The third thing we see here. You live in the Spirit because the Spirit is in you. I must pause here because Paul pauses here. In verse 9, you are in the Spirit if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. My friend, do you know this to be true? How sad it is to be a Christian and not understand the Holy Spirit is in you. What a marvelous thing has happened. Though indwelling sin still is inside of me, now Christ lives in me, and where Christ is the Spirit of God. You are now possessed you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. What do Spirit-possessed people do? They think about spiritual things. That's why you're called spiritual. Jesus said, talking to the disciples when he was explaining the coming of the Holy Spirit, John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, he calls him, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I ask you today, do you know the blessed Holy Spirit's presence in your life? Do you know it? You see, only the saved know the blessing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can't make that up. You see, the Holy Spirit is in us. He empowers us. The Holy Spirit is in us. He convicts us of our sin and he convinces us of the truth of God. The Holy Spirit is in us. He is our teacher. He takes these words and he applies them as we saw earlier. He reveals our relationship with God and the glory of our relationship with him. The Holy Spirit is in us. He helps us. He even helps us know how to pray. The Holy Spirit is with us and he reminds us of God's truth. And the Holy Spirit is in us, as we'll see in just a moment, because He helps us, empowers us to kill the desires and deeds of sin. But He also leads us. I read you this verse, Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Do you know what it's like for the Holy Spirit to be in you? Well, if you live in the Spirit of God is in you. And His work is active in you. He's present in you. Oh, we can grieve Him. We can quench the Holy Spirit. But He is in you as a result of your salvation and trust in Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Spirit of God is in you. Paul says it. You are in the Spirit if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If you do not have the Spirit, you do not belong to Christ. Finally, one last thing. We'll come back and talk some more about living and following the Holy Spirit in the days ahead. You live in the Spirit if you are resisting and killing sinful desires and deeds. Now notice Paul's order. He does not come to this. He calls this an obligation. Verses 12 and 13 are to be read together. Your Bible may have a dash at the end of verse 12. The point of it is 12 and 13 go together as one common idea. Your obligation, look, though it will take the Holy Spirit's power to help you, now you don't condition yourself to wake up living in the flesh anymore. You're not under obligation to live according to the flesh. You're under obligation by the power of the Spirit. You put to death the deeds of the flesh. Did you see it? Some people read this and say, well, the Holy Spirit will kill sin. No. No, you and the Holy Spirit, you the renewed believer in Jesus, you the spiritual man or woman, you will, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will kill the desires and deeds of the body. You will live. This is life in Christ. This is victory in Jesus. This is the Spirit-filled life, not the flesh-filled life. This is why there's such misery among some of God's people, and such anger, and such bitterness, and such unforgiveness, is because they have not crucified, they have not killed the desires and deeds of the flesh. Paul says, Colossians 3, the same place we were looking, after he talks about setting your mind on things above, he says, consider, that's a mind word, consider the members of your earthly body dead to immorality, dead to impurity, dead to passion, dead to evil desires, dead to greed, which is idolatry. You're dead to it. Consider yourself dead and put to death the deeds of the body. So I want to give you a phrase here that I hope will help you as we begin to think about killing the desires and deeds of the flesh. Here it is. Here it is. It's very important. You must kill the desire to kill the deed. You must kill the desire to kill the deed. You see, it starts in the mind. It's what the Lord Jesus said. He talked about what comes, greed comes out of the heart, out of the mind. Lust and fornication and adultery comes out of the mind. Lying and all kinds of taking your neighbor's name and discrediting them and gossip, and all of these horrible, hurtful things we do to other people comes out of the mind. You see, you must kill the desire and you will kill the deed. If you do not kill the desire, you will not kill the deed. That's why Paul spends all this time talking about your mind. You have, and I have, a duty and an obligation. You notice Paul didn't say in Colossians, where I read earlier about, he didn't say, now let the Holy Spirit set your mind on things above. No, he said, you set your mind. You do the job. You see, this is how we work with the Holy Spirit. This is God's way in growing us in holiness. Yes, the Lord saves us. He has to save us. We cannot save ourselves. But now, praise be to God, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. I've said this to this church so many times for years. People will say, well, I can't overcome that. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. If you're a believer, you can overcome it. You must believe and trust the Holy Spirit will help you. But when it comes to killing sin It starts with your desire. So let's use one as we finish today. You're having a meal with your friends. And they're all Christian friends. But sadly, one of the friends decides, I've mentioned this to you before, and I'm mentioning it over and over because this is a grievous thing that happens among God's people. Shouldn't happen. It's when we fall back in sin. Someone brings up someone at the table and begins to gossip about them. It's none of their business, but they spend their time along with their meal chewing on another person. And you're sitting there. This happens with young people all the time. This happens with young adults. It happens with middle-aged adults. It happens with old people. You have a choice. All of a sudden, it flashes through your mind. They've said the person's name. What will you do? What will you do? What is your desire? Is your desire to jump in? Is your desire to add the little bit you think you know? Is it your desire to bring false witness against your neighbor? How do you know those things are true? Who told you? Who made you the judge of your neighbor? What will you do when you kill? This is the pattern now. When you kill the desire, you won't do the deed. And then you will live. That's the pattern. That's the way it's done. We attack the desire. Because you see, James teaches us that when we are enticed, the word enticed, temptation comes when your lusts are activated, that you see it, you desire it, you want it. Eve saw that the fruit was good, she desired it, and then she did it. That's the order. If you kill the desire, you kill the deed. That's why some of you need to quit going some of the places you go, watching some of the things you watch on your electronic devices, posting things on the electronic world that you shouldn't post. You kill the desire, you kill the deed, and then you live. But if you don't kill the desire, it leads you back to a place you don't want to go, my dear Christian friend. It leads you back into deadness to God, no desire to praise God. You see, our minds are renewed as we worship God, as we read the Word of God, as we pray, as we spend our time thinking on spiritual things. And every Christian in this room can learn the discipline of thinking about spiritual things. It's heavenly mindedness on earth. It brings such joy. Because you know Jesus is reigning. He may permit these things to come in your life, but He is doing these things because all things are working together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. So daily use, what do I have for you today? Just simply to pound this in one more time. Does the Holy Spirit of God live in you? You see, the most important question you must answer today is that. If the Spirit of God does not live inside of you, you are not saved. You may be religious. I'm not being disrespectful. I love you in Jesus. I'm trying to do my job as the messenger. You may be religious. You may be moral. But if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, you're not spiritual. No wonder you have no desire to hear preaching and to sing praise to God and worship. No wonder. Lost people don't care about any of this. They're not going to come. If you avoid the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, if you avoid it, have you asked yourself why? Is it really, are you blaming the preacher? Well, preachers do the best they can with what they've got. Teachers do the best they can with what they've got. Is it the fault of someone else? That you're not where you are spiritually, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, unless you have professed to know Jesus, but there's no life in you. Then you must be saved. Are you living in the power of the Holy Spirit and killing desires? Oh, you go to work. You go to work and you hear it from your lost. You have to go to that dinner with all those employees and you're dreading it as a Christian. You know what the conversation's going to be about. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, come and help me kill the desire, so I don't do the deed and I'll live. So what is your condition today? That's what Paul's saying. I'll end as I began. I'll read you the verse that we started with. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, what did Paul say? Glorify God with your body.